This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, today's sermon will be based on that part of the catechism where we find Luther's morning and evening prayers. So I'd like you to keep the back of your bulletin cover before you, that is the outline, but also keep the back of your folded insert near you because that is where we find Luther's morning and evening prayers printed. We'll be looking at those later in the sermon. But first of all, number one in the outline asks this question, what does our first reading from Psalm 5 say about how we should begin our day? And if you were listening to that reading at all, the answer to that question is obvious. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. We learn from this psalm that we should begin the day with the Lord. We should begin the day with our focus on Him, knowing that He is the one who made us, that He is the one who sent His Son to save us, and that we are about to begin the day living to His glory. We also begin the day in prayer because, depending on what we have to face that day, whether good or bad, we need the Lord to guide us through it if we are to live to His glory and be a loving servant to others. That leads to question number two. What does our second reading from Psalm 141 say about how we should end our day? And again, if you were listening to the reading at all, the answer to that question is also obvious. It talks about our prayers rising to God as the evening sacrifice. In fact, as you were listening to those words from our second reading, maybe you were thinking they sounded familiar. They should. During Advent, and especially during Lent, we often use the service in the hymnal known as evening prayer. And one of the liturgical hymns that we sing during evening prayer is this psalm, Psalm 141, put to music. And this psalm again talks about the end of the day and going to God in prayer, giving to Him whatever cares that we have, giving Him thanks and praise for preserving us, and also that He would be with us as we face the coming night. That leads to point three in the outline. What does Jesus' example in our gospel reading teach us about what we need to do before we begin the task God has given us in this life? You know, this text of the Gospels has always made an impact on me because it teaches me how very often I'm not as humble as I need to be. Think about it. Here is Jesus, God in human flesh. He has all power of God at His disposal. But as God in human flesh, He sets aside His strength and power as God, and He shows us what it means to be truly human. And what does Jesus show us about being truly human in our gospel reading? We need to keep our focus on God the Father and rely completely on Him if we are to glorify Him in the tasks that He has given us. And so how does Jesus begin His busy, overwhelming day? He goes to a solitary place and He prays. You know, this reminds me of what Martin Luther once said. He talked about how it was so important for him to spend time in prayer because he needed that time to commune with God. But if you know anything about Martin Luther, his daytimer was maxed out. He was a busy guy. And on one occasion someone said, Luther, your life is just overwhelming. How do you do it? In fact, Luther, you talk about taking time for prayer. What do you do on those days, though, when you have so much to do? What do you do then? And his answer was, then I spend twice as much time in prayer. I heard a saying once, if you're too busy to pray, then you're too busy. And that convicts me, because here I am, a pastor, not only a Christian like you, but a pastor, the leader of God's people, but I don't always spend as much time in prayer as I ought. Sometimes I look at the busy, overwhelming week I have ahead of me, but rather than spending more time in prayer, I have to admit sometimes I have cut back. And we're all guilty of that, aren't we? Jesus' example convicts us. We're all guilty of beginning the day with just a fleeting prayer to God, or maybe no prayer at all. We're all guilty of ending the day, once again, with a fleeting prayer to God, or maybe no prayer at all. But of course, the good news is that Jesus is so much more than just our example. He's also our Lord and Savior. In other words, He did it right for us. Remember the absolution after you confessed your sins? Not only did I say that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, I also said that He lived a perfect life in your place. Jesus' prayer life was perfect and sinless. And Jesus' perfect, sinless prayer life has been credited to you through faith in Him. So when God looks at you, when God looks at me, He doesn't see people whose prayer life is fleeting and apathetic or sometimes even non-existent. No, through faith in Jesus, when He looks at you and me, He sees His perfect Son's dedication to Him. Nevertheless, even though Jesus is primarily our Savior, once we are forgiven and set free by God's mercy, we are able to look at Jesus' example, and rather than it condemning us because we know we are forgiven, we can use it as a way to show us how God truly wants to love us and bless us. Have you ever wondered why the devil distracts us and tries to keep us from prayer? He does that because he knows how God wants to bless us and comfort us through prayer. That leads to point four on the outline. What is prayer? Now, we talked about that a little bit a few weeks ago when I preached on the Lord's Prayer, but I'll just summarize it very briefly. Basically, prayer is two things. First of all, it's conversation with God. He is our Father. We are His children. We have a relationship with Him. And so we should be in conversation with Him, always. Secondly, our conversation with God is shaped and formed by His Word. That's why Jesus teaches us to pray. That's why Scripture teaches we should learn to pray, "Thy will be done." Prayer is not about us telling God what He's supposed to do for us according to our will. Prayer is about us reflecting God's Word so that it shapes our hearts and minds and moves us to submit to God's will, because we know His ways are best for us. That leads to point five. Why is prayer so important for us? Well, I've already alluded to that fact, but I'll stress it here in a little more detail. But before I do that, I want to point out something I've said in Bible class and on other occasions, and that is this. We all have heard the slogan, prayer changes things, but I prefer to say, prayer changes us. In other words, prayer is not something we do to manipulate God so that He'll finally give us what we want and do things our way. Instead, prayer is something that God uses to shape our hearts and minds so that we will conform to God's Word and learn to trust Him even when things are not going our way. So prayer, done according to Holy Scripture, changes us. And that's why prayer is so important for us, because the devil, this evil world and our own sinful nature are constantly trying to lead us away from God and His loving plan for our lives. So by spending time in prayer, focusing on God and His Word, saying back to Him what He has said to us, God uses that to shape us and comfort us and to help us mature in the faith. Now, with that understood, we're ready to take a look at Luther's morning and evening prayers, found on the back of your folded insert. I'd like you to look at that with me. And the first thing I'd like to say is that these are not the only prayers you can pray, obviously. You can say many different prayers in the morning, other written prayers or just prayers that flow from your heart. But I would encourage you to use Luther's morning and evening prayers from time to time because they are well written and they do reflect what godly prayer should be. Notice it says, in the morning when you rise, you shall bless yourself with the Holy Cross. Luther talks about making the sign of the cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart. Now, where do we hear that? Well, just last Sunday, we had a baptism. And I put my hand over Andre, and I said, receive the sign of the cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. By beginning the day, crossing ourselves, we remind ourselves that we are God's baptized and forgiven children, and we begin the day accordingly. In fact, Luther says you should begin by saying, in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Reminding us of our baptism. Then he says, then, kneeling or standing, or in my case, maybe sitting, it says, repeat the creed and the Lord's Prayer. Now, you don't have to do that, but that's a good thing to do because it summarizes the faith for you, and the Lord's Prayer, of course, helps you remember what God's will for prayer is. And then he says, if you choose, you may, in addition, say this little prayer. And why don't we read this prayer out loud together? I thank thee, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, thy dear Son, that thou hast kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray thee to keep me this day also from sin and all evil, that all my doings and life may please thee. For into thy hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let the holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen. And then he says, go to your work with joy, singing a hymn as the Ten Commandments or what your devotion may suggest. Well, what do we learn from Luther's morning prayer? Four things. First of all, did you notice how he begins the day thanking God for his protection during the night? I don't know about you, but very often I'm guilty of taking God's protection for granted. Have you ever thought how vulnerable we are when we sleep? But God is watching over us, protecting us. We can give Him thanks for that. Secondly, Luther also asks that God would protect us during the day. That's Christian humility. To think that we can face the day by our own power and actually take care of ourselves by our own strength is sheer arrogance. So we ask God to protect us, reminding ourselves that ultimately we are in His hands, and without Him, we are nothing. And then next, note that Luther asks God to keep him from sin and all evil so that everything he does may honor and glorify God. That's important because there's another being at work in the morning, and that is the wicked foe, the devil, and he wants you to begin your day with God being the farthest thing on your mind. He wants you to begin the day maybe even with plans to do something that you know is wrong. I don't know about you, but the wicked foe has had his way with me over the years. I'm sure this has happened to you too. You wake up and you're being tempted to do something that day that you know is wrong. And maybe you even end up doing it. Here, Luther teaches us that we should begin the day realizing that we are in a spiritual battle. We are sinners and we're being tempted by the wicked foe to live our lives in rebellion against God. And so we ask God to keep us from sin and all evil, that everything we do may be according to His loving plan for our lives. And finally, we ask God that His holy angel would be with us, so that the wicked foe may have no power over us. Sometime, I think I'll do a sermon just on what the Bible says about angels, but for now, let me simply say that Scripture clearly teaches that God uses His good angels to continue to protect us. He does that even without us praying for it, but we ask Him to do that so that we can remember that He is caring for us, and He even sends His angels to protect us. The wicked foe is an angel as well, but a fallen evil angel. So God sends His mighty good angels to protect us from the wicked foe. We need to remember that because we live in a modern world that considers all this stuff about angels to be fairy tales and mythology, but Scripture is clear. God continues to protect us with His angels. We don't see them, we don't hear them, but they're there. In fact, Scripture teaches that when we worship, they worship with us and give praise to God along with us. Now we're ready to look at Luther's evening prayer. It says, in the evening, when you go to bed, you shall bless yourself with the Holy Cross, and then say, in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So just as we begin the day as God's baptized children, we end the day as God's baptized children. I'd like to go off on just a brief tangent before I get into Luther's evening prayer. But all this reminds me of a passage from the book of Ephesians where it talks about not allowing the sun to go down on your anger. You know, in Luther's morning prayer, we pray that we should strive to live the day without sin. Of course, none of us can do that. And one of the things that sometimes happens during the day is that we live in animosity with someone we work with or live with. And when the sun begins to go down and night draws near, we still have bitterness and resentment on our hearts. But what does Scripture say? Do not let the sun go down while you're angry. In other words, reconcile. A few weeks from now, I plan to do a sermon on the importance of daily Christian reconciliation, especially between family members, husbands and wives, parents and children. So we need to remember that when we're prepared to go to bed with our focus on God, God would have us not only be right with Him, He would also have us be right with one another. And so I encourage you as God's baptized and forgiven children, before you end the day and prepare to go to sleep, if you've had an issue with your husband or wife, your son or daughter or someone else, if possible, seek them out. And with God's love and mercy, reconcile with them. Now, Luther says, then kneeling or standing, or whatever position works for you, repeat the Creed and the Lord's Prayer again. What? Again? That's right. We need to hear God's truth over and over and over again. Not only do we tend to forget it if we don't, but secondly, we need to hear that good news constantly. For example, the words, I love you. Can you imagine a husband saying to his wife, I said I love you on our wedding day, you don't need to hear it again. No, couples need to affirm each other with those words, I love you. Parents and children need to affirm each other with those words, I love you. And I don't know about you, but I never get tired of hearing that. Those three words, I love you, are new every time we hear them, because they affirm that relationship. And so we never get tired of hearing God's loving words to us in the Creed and in the Lord's Prayer and in Holy Scripture. Even though we've heard them time and again, we need to continue to hear them because they bless us and affirm our relationship with God. With that in mind, let's now read Luther's evening prayer together out loud. I thank Thee, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, Thy dear Son, that Thou hast graciously kept me this day, and I pray Thee to forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into Thy hands I commend myself, my body and soul in all things. Let Thy holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Quickly, let's just look at this and learn what we can gather from this prayer. First of all, Luther begins with thanks once again, thanking God for his protection during the day. And let me emphasize to you that we should thank God even if the day didn't go well, because even if we lose everything that this life holds dear, we still have Jesus. We have His forgiveness, we have His love, we have the hope of eternal life. So even if the day were to end in death, and that's about as bad as it can get from the point of view of the world, even if our day would end in death, then we can say with the Apostle Paul, to live is Christ, to die is gain. And so, no matter how the day goes, we give thanks to God. Secondly, and I love this part of the evening prayer, Luther says, I pray Thee to forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong. Now, is Luther being inconsistent here? I thought he said in the morning prayer, God help me to live this day without sin. And now he's asking God to forgive him all his sins. Is he a hypocrite? No. Luther is a sincere Christian. As Christians, we should strive to live without sin. We've been set free to do that through Christ and His forgiveness. But, since we still have a sinful nature, we constantly fall short. Even though God is faithful, we are not. And so at the end of the day, even though we've tried our best, we have to come to God in humility and admit that in spite of our best efforts, we still sinned against Him in thought, word, and deed, by what we did, and by the good things we didn't do. But here's the good news. We can come to God at the end of the day with our failures and sins, knowing that we are forgiven and holy in His sight through faith in Jesus. That's why we can ask God for forgiveness, because the forgiveness is already there. We simply ask Him so that we can know that we have it. And so we begin the day with the goal of striving to please the Lord, and we do our best with His help, but at the end of the day we acknowledge the fact that we fell short, and yet know that we are forgiven and loved by God and secure in His merciful hands. Next, just as Luther thanks God in the morning for protecting him the night before, he now, as he prepares to go to sleep, asks God once again for that protection. Now, as we learn in the Lord's Prayer, God gives us all these things even though we don't ask. But we ask so that we will remember that God gives us these things. So even though God fully intends to protect us according to His will, whether we ask Him or not, we ask Him anyway because then we remember that we are going to bed secure in His hands. Now once again, does that mean that when we ask God for protection that things always work out the way we want? No. For example, look at Hymn 750. first hymn, if you want to turn to that. I was touched especially by the fifth stanza. It said, "Nor think amid the fiery trial that God hath cast thee off unheard, that he whose hopes meet no denial must surely be of God preferred. Time passes, and much change doth bring, and sets a bound to everything." What's this saying? First of all, when things aren't going your way, when you ask God to protect you and things get worse, that doesn't mean he hasn't heard your prayers. That next line of that stanza says, "But what about the people who pray for help and they always seem to get it? They pray for help and their life is fine. Do you love them more than me?" And the answer is no. God has his plan for each and every one of us. Sometimes that includes peace. Sometimes that plan includes pain. In fact, the Bible teaches that God disciplines those he loves. So rather than thinking that God loves those people more whose lives are easy, you could actually turn that around and say the harder your life is, the more God loves you. But of course that's not true, because the scripture teaches God loves all of us equally. The point is, when you're going through times of hardship and trial, the devil wants you to think that either God has abandoned you, or worse yet, he's angry with you. But both of those are lies, because God loves us intensely. He will never leave us or forsake us. And so even when he allows us to go through trials, his protection is still there, because he's even working through those trials to draw us closer to him and to give us opportunity to witness to others of the unshakable hope we have in Jesus. It says, "Time passes and much change doth bring and sets a bound to everything." You see, one day all things will be set right. On that final day when Jesus returns in power and glory and raises us from the dust of the ground, on that final day when he ushers us glorified, sinless bodies into the new creation, the paradise God intended for us in the beginning, on that day all things will be set right, and we will know peace and joy for all eternity. If you look on the back of your folded insert, after Luther shares with us his little evening prayer, he gives us advice. "Then go to sleep promptly and cheerfully." Now that's easier said than done sometimes. But here Luther is simply saying, once you realize your life is in God's hands, you don't have to worry. You don't have to fear. No matter what happens to you in this life, you are secure in God's hands. Not even death can separate you from the love of God and the hope that you have in Jesus. I don't know about you, but that promise brings me cheer. To know that I can face the worst that this life has to offer and still know that I'm secure in God's hands, that brings me cheer. And it should bring you cheer too, because God loves you. He loves you more than you can possibly comprehend. And the proof that he loves you is that he was willing to give his one and only son for you, that you might be his own for all eternity. So that's why we pray to him. That's why we begin the day talking to our Father. That's why we end the day talking to our Father. And that's why we talk to our Father throughout the day. He loves us, and we'll be with him for all eternity. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.